you to pray for me this morning because I kept looking around, but God kept leading me back to this subject, and it's called Why We Cannot Wait. Amen? Why we cannot wait. You know, we're waiting too long. We're waiting for tomorrow. We're waiting for Monday. We're going to wait for a special time to come to church to do something, but we can't wait. Some of us are waiting to get salvation because we think that, you know, it's today, tomorrow's going to be like today. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you can't wait. Amen? The scripture is coming from Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. And it says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" Then he said this, "All his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing." Why we can't wait. Don't make a mistake about this story. Because this is just not another story about a woman with an injury that needed to be healed. Amen? This story is not about power embarrassing weakness. And we know a lot of times power likes to embarrass weakness. It's not a story about new things replacing the old. It's a story about what God intends. It's about the urgency of seeing God's intentions brought to pass without delay. The key to the story is Jesus' argument with the synagogue leader who objects to the healing of a woman on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. The leader is saying, "You can't do this on this day." Amen? But the woman's condition, it really wasn't life-threatening. Now, how many times have we saw somebody going through something and we determined that it ain't that bad, that it could wait? Hallelujah. Whenever there is pain and suffering going on, you can't feel that person's pain. And a lot of times we don't see the suffering. And since you don't feel it and you don't see it and you don't know what another person is going through, it ain't that bad that it can't wait. There's people in here right now that are going through things and others are looking at them saying, "It's not that bad. It can wait." But Jesus looked at this woman in spite of everything that the leaders are saying, and he went forth and did what he had to do. Amen? Now, the woman, she's 18 years. She's used to looking at people out the side of her face. She's used to bending over now. She's used to turning her head this way to see what's going on, or that way to see what's going on. She wasn't complaining about what it was she was going through. As a matter of fact, it didn't say she was like the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't reach out for Jesus. She was just curious because they said that this man named Jesus was preaching at the synagogue. Amen? Isn't it something that when people find out that Jesus is going to be someplace, they just want to go and find out what's going on? They just want to be a little nosy. Undoubtedly, when people come into your church, they know that they just want to be a little curious. They just want to see what's going on. Because you said, this is my church. But I pray to God that when people come to this church, they see that Jesus is in the building. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe when things start really happening, when the glory of the Lord starts coming down, people are going to be curious to see what's going on in that building. Yes. Because they're going to hear that Jesus is in that building. Amen. Jesus is telling this leader that it doesn't make a difference what day it is. Amen. He says, you take your animals and you let them go. You give them water. You make sure that they're taken care of on the Sabbath day. But here you want to tell me and you want to tell the people, you want to tell the human race that on this Sabbath day, they can't be healed. This woman was going through something. And Jesus knew that she need not wait till tomorrow. She needed to only come there then and receive whatever it is that he wanted to give her. Amen? On this day, there was a lot of excitement because others had heard that Jesus was going to be there. This woman, she had already had a lot of disappointments in her life. Can somebody say amen? Have you ever had a lot of disappointments in your life and you just come just for the sake of coming because you're nosy? Hallelujah. Do you realize that people come to church with your disappointments not to be delivered and not to be healed because you don't know the power of Jesus? I had somebody speak life into me the other day, and my wife, and said to me that there's a spirit of disbelief in your church. And I believe that there's a spirit of disbelief. You see, there's so many disappointments going on that you don't believe that God can change things. But I'm here today to tell you that he can change things. Because when I said there's a song in my heart that the glory of the Lord is coming down, somebody should have jumped up. Somebody should have believed that the glory of the Lord is going to come down today. Somebody should have understood that that disappointment that you came in here with, you're not going to leave with it. But you came because you were curious. And you came because it is your Sabbath day. But I'm here to tell you today that the glory of the Lord is going to come down. And some disappointments are going to go. And somebody's going to be healed. Hallelujah. You believe that today? No, you don't. If you believe that today, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Look at the disappointment that you came in here with and say, by God, by the power of the blood, it's going to go. Sometimes you got to tell the devil you got to go. And he's not going to go easily. You got to kick him out. And he's going to be screaming and hollering. He's not going to go down easy. You have to fight. Jesus was speaking in the synagogue. Hallelujah. This woman, her friends didn't bring her there and let her down through the roof. Hallelujah. Jesus saw her at the corner of his eye. Hallelujah. He's speaking and he sees her at the corner of his eye. And he says, woman, come here. Hallelujah. He says, come here. And she's obedient. There's that word again. She was obedient and she comes up. And he says, woman, hallelujah. thou art healed from your infirmity. You are healed from this spirit. He didn't say you're healed because you were broke, your body's broken down. He rebuked the spirit of infirmity in her. So for 18 years, it was a spirit that she was dealing with. Some of us in here are dealing with a spirit. It's not an infirmity. It's a spirit of infirmity. And we have to rebuke that spirit. But wait a minute, I want you to know something. He said, come up. And she did. And he said, you are healed. But she was still like this. Hallelujah. But the scripture said when he touched her, she stood up. When he touched her, she stood up. Because the power of the living God, the power made her stand up. Hallelujah. It's not about words. It's about the power of the blood. It's about the power of God. It's about being obedient and understanding that God can heal anything. But you got to get rid of that spirit of unbelief. You got to get rid of that spirit of disobedience. And you want to know something? You can't wait to do it. You got to do it now. You want healing and deliverance in your family, but your children and your husband and the people around you and your family know that you don't believe the things that you say. So why should they believe it? Hallelujah. You want healing and deliverance in your families. You better start believing. You better start being obedient. Hallelujah. And you can't wait for it. Because the longer you wait, the worse it is. The harder it is. The enemy gets entrenched into a place that you got to do more than just dig them out. You can't just say, leave me. You can't just say, go. We already know that some spirits you got to take care of through fasting and praying. But some things you could take care of by praying right now. But if you had this thing for so long, you need to be on your knees fasting and praying. Oh, hallelujah. And then when you look at the leader of the synagogue, and he's quoting in, you know, Deuteronomy about what the Sabbath day is supposed to be. Well, it is supposed to be a day of freedom. It is supposed to be a day of relief. It is supposed to be a day of rest. It is supposed to be a day of liberty. It's not a day to do nothing. It's a day to receive the blessings that God wants to give you. So how can you say that you can't receive healing and a blessing on that day? Hallelujah. Some people come to church and think that church service is just supposed to be a church service. Every service is a healing and a deliverance service in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What God can do during a revival, he do it every time you come to church. God don't need to be keyed up, hyped up, or anything. He's already keyed up and hyped up against the devil every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. We need to be keyed up. We need to be hyped up. And I'm here to say you can't wait for that. You got to have that every day of the week. You wake up in the morning, you got it. You go to sleep at night, you got it. In the middle of the night when he rocks you, you get up and you praise him. The devil likes to wake you up with all this nonsense and all these things that are going on. But speak life into yourself. Speak Jesus into yourself. Speak the blood of God, Jesus Christ, into yourself, the Son of the living God. We're so busy being woken up by nonsense. Just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Jesus came to give us peace, not frustration. Hallelujah. We get up in the morning. We can't even talk to nobody. We got to have our coffee before we can talk to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. The official was saying, wait one more day. How many times have the enemy told you, wait just a little longer? Wait one more day. And by the time the next day comes, it's too late. Hallelujah. We can't afford to wait any longer. You can't afford to wait any longer. I don't know what it is that's going on in your life, but you can't afford to wait any longer. Hallelujah. God sees no virtue in suffering. He don't turn around and say, oh, that makes a good saint because they go through the suffering. God sees no virtue in that. God would wish for none of us to suffer. But because of disobedience, we got to suffer. Because we were born into sin. So we're going to suffer. We're going to go through some things. Hallelujah. But if somebody tells you, where's your God? He is still there. He has never leave you nor forsake you. You're going to go through things. Amen. And I want to get back to this thing about these animals. The religious people. You know, this thing really frustrates me. Because you know what? People still treat animals better than they treat human beings. If I hurt your feeling with what I'm going to say, just say ouch. There are people being shot and killed every day, and nothing is happening to them. Shoot a dog and see what happens. They took a little dog and threw him in the garbage can. They went all after this woman in New York. It's a sealed $2,000 reward. There's people getting lynched, shot, beat up, killed all over this place. And nothing is being said and nothing is happening. But my God, like he told me in Luke 13, there's only one people. That's the human race. That's the only race there is. The human race. And in the human race, everybody's a part of it. We are one. Now, I don't care what country you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what language you speak. You are part of one race. And Christ is saying right here, people, you treat animals better than you treat humans. We can't wait. We can't wait. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying that this woman was in bondage. You see, spiritual attacks, spiritual disabilities are bondages that we can break through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Do I have a church that understands what I'm talking about right now? I said bondages can be broken because bondages are spiritual. Hallelujah. If you can't stop, if you didn't do something, and now you do something, and you can't stop doing that, that's a bondage. That's a bondage. That is a spiritual bondage. And it can be broken. Hallelujah. Now, if something happened, and all of a sudden, let's say your leg got amputated, I can't expect you to walk normally. That's a physical ailment or something that happened. But if it's something different, that's physical, that's spiritual, I expect something to happen. Hallelujah. And each and every one of us in here has been under a spiritual bondage. Because before you started coming to church, before you got yourself saved, before you got yourself sanctified, before you received the Holy Ghost, you had a spiritual bondage that you had to get breakthrough for. Because none of us are born perfect. Hallelujah. So when somebody has a spiritual bondage, We got to pray for them. We got to let them know what it is that they're going through. And we can't wait because they don't know what they're going through. But once you've been there, you should know that. And if you don't know that, but you got this saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit will let the Spirit know what the Spirit sees. But you know what happens? You see the unspiritual, they're not necessarily ready to accept what it is that you're saying. So you say it, you pray for them, and you continue to pray for them. Hallelujah. So I want to know this morning, why do so many of us still think that we can wait? You need to ask yourself that question this morning. Why do you think that you still can wait? Hallelujah. Because in 2 Corinthians 6:2, Jesus says this. No, Paul says this. He says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. He says, I have heard you, but I want you to know that now is the time. It is the acceptable time. It is now the time for salvation. Hallelujah. Perhaps the most deadly sin that any of us have, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, is the sin of procrastination. Hallelujah. You're satisfied with where you are in life. Everything looks good. You got the house. You got the car. You got the job. You got the children. You got your health. You don't need Jesus right now because everything is so good. But now is the time for salvation. Hallelujah. It is dangerous to count on tomorrow, because the scripture tells me in James, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Because this sin, that is the sin of procrastination, easily becomes the sin of negligence. Then it becomes the sin, hallelujah, it becomes the sin. It becomes the sin of unbelief. In Genesis, the scripture says, I will not always strive with man. Hallelujah. My spirit shall not always strive with men. The Lord God said that in Genesis. So while we're waiting for tomorrow, hallelujah, and we're waiting for the next day, hallelujah, he says, I will not always strive with you. I'm not going to always be there waiting for you to turn your life around. So I want to know this morning why you're still waiting. Hallelujah. The spirit of negligence, the spirit of indifference, and then the unforgivable sin. Hallelujah. Sin begets sin, begets sin, begets sin. Hallelujah. A little sin becomes a little bit bigger because the devil says you can have more if you do more. Hallelujah. You start selling a little bit of drugs, some marijuana or something like that, and you make a little $25 a week, but he says to you, you know what, if you sell more bags, you're going to get more. It's right there for you. Hallelujah. It's right there for you. You know what? Maybe you don't want to sell $5 bags no more. Maybe you want to start selling half ounces. Now you want to sell some ounces because it's getting five. I mean, you're making a sale is a sale. Instead of making $10, you can make $50. The sin gets a little bit bigger. Hallelujah. Oh, but wait a minute. You don't want to sell that.
He's dealing with the low. You need to sell this high-class stuff, this powder, to other people, because you can make some really big money doing that. Hallelujah. And then the sin comes a little bit bigger. Hallelujah. Before you know, you're in it. You're in it. And I don't care what sin it is. You start cheating on your wife with one, you're going to cheat on her with others. One becomes two, becomes three. Before you know it, you're not the husband, but you're the player. Sin begets sin begets sin. Hallelujah. I don't care what the sin is. You name it, I'll expand upon it for you. I'll tell you about it. Because sin begets sin. All of a sudden, what the walls that we learned in church, what our parents taught us, what the Bible says, they no longer exist. All boundaries are gone. And when those boundaries are gone, you think you have nothing to lose. And when you have nothing to lose, you end up losing everything and everybody. Hallelujah. Why do you think that you could wait? Hallelujah. God said in Genesis 6 and 3, he said it in the beginning of the book. He said it in the book of beginnings, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I mean, this is when he was talking to his first loves, the ones he just created, the ones who broke his heart. Hallelujah. My spirit. When he said it to them, he said it to us. When he said it to Adam and Eve, he said it to us. Hallelujah. My spirit shall not always strive with man. This was a warning. And in the days of Noah, it was the same thing. And in Psalms, it says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. That was the warning of the psalmist. And it's so important that we understand that our hearts can become so hard. So hard. So hard. Hallelujah. He said it in the Old Testament. When in the middle of the songs of praises, he's saying your heart can become so hard. Hallelujah. Not your head, but your heart. Not your head. But your heart. He didn't talk about your thoughts. He talked about your insides, your innards, your inner being. Hallelujah. He thought that that warning was so important. The writer of Hebrews quoted it 3 times. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 3 and 7, it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the times of testing in the wilderness. You know that when you're in the wilderness, you harden your heart. I know that I did because I know the word. I was brought up in the word. But every time they spoke it to me, my heart was so hard, I couldn't even hear it. It would tighten up like a fist. You know the word. You hear the word. But the enemy has got you to the point that your heart hardens, that every time you hear it, it tightens up. Hallelujah. He says it again in Hebrews 3 and 15. And he says this, as has been just said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did it in the rebellions. That's 2 times in the same chapter. Then he says this again. In Hebrews 4 and 7, and the scripture says, God again set a certain day, calling it today. Oh, if you got a Bible, take your Bible out right now because I want you to see this scripture. It's Hebrews 4 and 7. It says, God again set a certain time. God came out of time. A timeless God came out of time to quantify something for us since we only identify with time. And this is not, when he says again, that means he did it before. It was established before. It says God again set a certain day. Do you know that God has given you a mandate? Do you know that God has given you a criteria? Do you know that he has told you what he wants? Do you know that he has given you another commandment? He has set a time called today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Amen? For some of us, there might be another opportunity, but our conceitedness and our mindset is dangerous to impose on God that whatever you say, I'm going to ignore it. You're going to give me another chance. But God has set a time called today. Hallelujah. For those of us that are not really paying attention to what God is saying, he set a time apart. He put a time there for us. He says, this is when I want you to do it. This is when I'm calling you. You go to eat dinner and somebody makes a dinner for you. Sister Anderson makes a nice dinner for Brother Ricardo, and she sets it apart for him to eat. Maybe he's out working in the yard. Maybe he's at work. But she puts something aside. I set aside just for him. Sister House, you put something, you set it aside for him. You just set it apart. My wife takes something and she sets it apart for me. I have children. I have brothers. I have sisters. She might set it apart from me so they don't have it. Hallelujah. God set a time apart for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. This is the day of salvation. He set it apart. Today is the time that he set apart for you. Hallelujah. He didn't set aside tomorrow. He set up today for you. Hallelujah. That's why we can't wait. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He set a certain day. Not any old day. He didn't pick a Monday. He don't care about Monday. He didn't pick Tuesday because he don't care about Tuesday. Tuesday is no importance to him. He didn't set aside Wednesday. He didn't say maybe Wednesday is hump day, you know. Maybe you want to do it on hump day. He didn't say on a Wednesday. Oh, and he didn't say it on Thursday. He didn't say it on Friday when the eagle flies. He didn't say that. He didn't say that on Saturday. He didn't say that on Sunday. He said today. He set it upon a time called today. Hallelujah. I want to know this morning, what are you waiting for? Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to end this with the Psalm 95 because this is what he set aside for today. And this is what he wants you to do for him today. Oh, he says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. The flock that is under his care. Don't you know that you have a shepherd this morning who you can be under his care? Don't you know that when the enemy attacks, the shepherd has got the flock? You might go astray, but it says that he'll go find that one. He'll leave the flock and go find that one that went astray. That could be you this morning. Don't you know that you got a Savior called Jesus Christ Today, the scripture says, today, if you only would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did before, as you did as Messiah in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. Hallelujah. We all know people who didn't make it and tested the Lord because they said, I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to get it right this time. I'm going to go another day. God is going to give me another chance. I'll wait till my deathbed. I'll wait till I'm 30. I'll wait till I get married. I'll wait till I'm not young. I'll wait. Hallelujah. I want to know, what are you waiting for? There's so many things going on right now. That's why we can't wait. Hallelujah. If you look at the signs of the times, you realize that we can't wait. Hallelujah. There's so many things going on. You have no idea what's going on because this government, this news agency, and everybody only lets you see what they want you to see. And when it comes to the Lord, and they don't want you to know about that. They don't want you to know about that. But the scripture says there'll be signs and there'll be wonders. What are you waiting for? Hallelujah. You know that the enemy don't want you to know nothing about the Lord. You know he doesn't want you to see anything that's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said to my wife yesterday, I said, we got to be like that horse Justified. I'm not a horse person. I don't bet on horses, okay? But I looked at the race. Hallelujah. I watched this horse win the Kentucky Derby because the name caught me, Justified. I watched him win the Kentucky Derby. And then I see it go down to the Preakness, and it was muddy. It was a little rainy. People were wondering what this horse was going to do. And it made it with Preakness. Hallelujah. Now it's in the Belmont, ready to win the Triple Crown. And if you know anything, I don't know nothing about horses, but I know one thing. The horses will start running and they'll edge you out. They'll box you in so you can't go nowhere. Hallelujah. And I know that the enemy will box you in. He'll send those demons to box you in so you can't get out in front, so you can't win. Hallelujah. And I watched this horse. I watched this horse as they brought him to the gate. The horse stood there. I watched the ears. I see the horse says, oh, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to run this race. The first horse that they put in there, and they went in there, ears, like this. And then they put the horse next to him and another horse next to him. And I seen the horse turn around and notice. And turn back around. And I see the ears go like this. And then I see the ears go like this. And that horse never, ever turn to the left or to the right. Never looked at the competition again. That horse kept his eyes focused on what his assignment was. Hallelujah. And the jockey just rode that horse. Didn't beat him a lot. But when he turned around that last curve, that last stretch, I seen the lead go from 2.5 to a half. But the horse never turned to see who was gaining on him. I seen the jockey just hit him a couple of times, and he picked up the pace. And by the time you know it, he won by a bunch of lengths in the name of Jesus. And I said, my God, isn't Justified good? But all I know is we are justified through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you're put in that booth, you can look to the right if you want to, but you better keep your eyes straight ahead for what God has got in store for you, because the enemy wants to box you in again so you can't get out, and the enemy's waiting. What are you waiting for? Oh, hallelujah. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? God has already shown you miracles. He's already done things in your life. He's already taken you out of the miry. What are you waiting for? Hallelujah. Martin Luther King wrote a book years ago, Why We Can't Wait. Jesus said, we don't have to wait. No law, no religion, no nothing. Religion will tell you you have to wait. But we don't have to wait. Our God is 24/7. Always on call, always on board. No matter what it is that you're going through, God can deliver you out of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can hear the word, but when he touches you, all things become new. Let us stand this morning. Oh, hallelujah. 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 And at the end of that psalm that I was reading, hallelujah, he makes a point. He says, you know what? He says, your ancestors that tested me, that were so disobedient to me, he said, for 40 years, I put them in the wilderness. For 40 years, I did that. Amen? For 40 years, I did that. Because they are my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But their hearts continue to go astray. And they have not known my ways. Hallelujah. Some of us, for so many years, we have been gone astray. Some of us in here, we have just gone astray. Hallelujah. But today, God has set a time. He has set something apart for us today. If you're sick today, he set this time apart for you, for your healing, and for your deliverance. Hallelujah. If you don't know him today, he has set this time apart for you to know him today, for a new beginning today. Today is just for you. Hallelujah. Sister Barbara, this is just for you, just today. You know what? This is just for me today. Hallelujah. Sister Paulette, this is just for you. Whatever ails you, this is just for you today. Sister Eudensi, this is just for you today. Whatever ails you, in the name of Jesus, he set this time apart today. But you gotta believe. You gotta believe that this is just for you today. Hallelujah. He's in here for you today. He's not in here for us. He's in here for you today. Hallelujah. So my question again is, what are you waiting for? Because we can't wait.